Amen. Well, it's great to be here today, because if I wasn't here, I'd probably be at home beating snow off of my trees so that the branches don't break. I know a lot of us did that yesterday, and it's really good to be here looking the Word together and to focus on how we can be serving in our community and loving on people. I have a question for you as we begin. What are the common phrases that come through and run through your mind through the day? You probably have negative phrases that you think about. You probably have some positive ones in there. You might be thinking, I don't even know what I think about during the day. I just think about whatever I'm doing, and I'm not really sure what to answer to that, Sean. Did you know that God wants to change you into being a strong and courageous person by changing the way you think and changing those common phrases that run through your mind? That's one of the things that we're going to see here today in Joshua chapter 1. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's a bit long. I timed it, just so you know. It takes a little over 3 minutes. At least that's what it took when I practiced it. So it's not that long, but you're going to think, man, that's a lot of scripture he's reading. It's good for us to get a big picture of what God's doing in this first chapter as we look at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. Last week, by the way, was the overview. If you missed that sermon, you may want to watch that online and get an overview of the entire book, because we're going to jump right in with chapter 1 today and see how God is going to instruct his people in how they should go into the promised land. So, if you have your Bibles, it'd be great to open them. We'll have the scripture up here on the screen as well. Bible apps work great also. We'll be reading Joshua chapter 1. Let's go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, verses 6 through 9, they're coming up next. These would be the heartbeat of this entire chapter. The most important verses. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And then he's going to mention 2.5 tribes. These are the 2.5 tribes that are living on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And these are the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Joshua said to them, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest, and he will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you, beyond the Jordan, that means on the eastern side, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and shall help them. until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they are all, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And then they answered. This is all of the people now of Israel in unity as they hear these instructions. They all answered Joshua back. All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you or against your command and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your word. It is the word of life. It is the word of instruction. You speak your heart to our hearts in your perfect word. And we are now before you listening to your voice as you teach us through your word. In fact, Lord, we depend upon you being our teacher and our leader. So speak to our hearts so that we can know your will. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this opening chapter, God has given Joshua some note-taking information. This is the kind of interaction that you would have when someone starts speaking and you're like, hold on a second, I need to write this down. This is important information. That's what's happening with Joshua right here. The first thing that is in part of this chapter, and I'm going to give you four note-taking ideas. They're all in your on your inserts. If you'd like to fill them in, they'll be on the screens as well. The first one is this, is that God gives his instructions. And God's instructions are these: go where I am leading. We see this in verse 2, verse 4, verse 11, verse 14, and verse 16. So in verse 2, it says, go over this Jordan into the land. Verse 4, God describes the outer boundaries of all of this land that he's going to lead them into. Verse 11, he says, within 3 days, you're going to pass over this Jordan and take possession. That's where you're going to go. That's what you're going to do. Verse 14, he tells the men of valor, you're going to pass over from the eastern side of the Jordan over to the western side and help take the land. And then in verse 16, the people said back to Joshua, hey, we will do what you have commanded because we know that God is leading us through you. So a lot of examples there of God's instructions throughout the whole chapter of how God is going to lead them to go and do something specific. After 40 years of wandering in the desert wilderness, God's ready to lead his people into their own land. This is pretty exciting. And after 40 years of eating manna and quail every day, God's now going to lead them into a land of fertile soil and domesticated animals. Both, I guess, pretty exciting as well. Like, life is going to change a lot. And, you know, as exciting as it was, this was going to be difficult as well. And it was going to involve significant change for them. You know, they had been following God by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. And wherever that pillar went, they followed. They're not going to be doing that anymore. Now they're going to be following the instructions of Joshua. They were following God's unpredictable schedule as they moved through the desert. And moving through the desert is fairly easy. Now they're going to be following God to attack fortified cities. And as we read Joshua today and like read through this book, knowing the faithfulness of God and how God provided for them, it's natural for us to minimize how petrifying these changes would have been for them. Look, but following God's instructions will require them to rely completely on God and act by faith at every obstacle they face. And they will face obstacles every day. This was not easy. God knew he was calling them to something bigger than they could handle. So look at these 8 encouragements he gives them throughout chapter 1. This is the second significant piece of information in Joshua chapter 1. 8 encouragements. I'm calling these God's encouragements. And these aren't on the slides like the others, but there's a bunch of them. So verse 3, God says, I will give you whatever land you step on. Verse 5, there's no opposition that can stand against God's plan. The end of verse 5, he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, you will inherit the land. Verse 7, you can have good success. Verse 8, you can be prosperous and have good success. Verse 9, do not be afraid or dismayed. Again in verse 9, I am with you. Don't you just love that? God the Father is revealing his tender heart here in these verses. He's acknowledging that he's calling them to more than they can handle. And he knows that because he's calling them to more than they can handle, of course they're going to be afraid. And so he layers encouragement after encouragement after encouragement throughout his instructions. Look, never minimize the power of encouraging words. God is fueling their hearts with these encouraging words. But that's not all he's doing. In addition to the instructions that he gives and then the encouragement that he gives, the people needed equipping and training. And now here's what I mean. Imagine that you're a coach of a 12-year-old lacrosse team. And they're ambitious and they're excited. And you have given them instructions to go onto the field and win the game. Great coaching. Way to go. You've also encouraged them by telling them, I believe in you and I'm here on the sidelines to give you water whenever you're thirsty. Both of those are great things that any great coach would do. But if you don't equip them and train them in how to play the game, well, you're setting them up for failure, aren't you? You have to equip and train them so that they can go and do what you're telling them to do and so that they can actually receive the encouragement that you're giving and think, oh yeah, we actually can do this because we've been equipped and trained. Well, God knows that, and that's the third thing that we're going to see in this chapter. It's God's equipping plan. God's equipping plan is his word and his presence. So there are a number of examples of how this weaves through the chapter as well. In verse 1, the Lord is communicating with Joshua some new instructions. This is God's word, and obviously God is present through his word, and he's present with Joshua. Verse 6, God gave his word to give the land to the people. So that's according to his word. Verse 7, he tells them to carefully obey the law of Moses. Again, we're talking about the word of God, and he's saying, carefully obey it. In verse 8, he's saying, talk about the word of God. In verse 8, again, he says, meditate on the word of God. And then in verses both 5 and 9, he talks about his presence. He says, I will be with you. The emphasis and the priority of God's equipping his people through his word and his presence, it really couldn't be higher. That's what verses 6 through 9 are emphasizing. And these would be, by the way, great verses for anyone to be meditating on and reading through and thinking about on a daily basis. Because it's the heart of what God's trying to communicate in chapter 1. And I think as I go through some of this, it's going to be even clearer. Now, notice the different levels you might even think about how God is saying you can experience his word. First off, he says you can hear it as someone speaks it. You can talk about it. It even says, one of the translations says that the word of God should always be on your lips. I envisioned this last week as I was meditating on this verse. I was envisioning little miniature Bibles that were actually sitting on my lips. I know it's kind of silly, but look, you gotta come up with these little creative things if you wanna. That's part of meditating on God's word. That's how you memorize it. Which is the third thing that he emphasizes in these verses is meditate on his word. Now I'm gonna talk more about that in a little bit. Because before I do that, I wanna make the full circle here because the result of God's equipping is this. And this is the fourth thing we see in this chapter. Is that through God's word and his presence, we become strong and courageous. So the third thing was God would equip us through his word and his presence. Now the fourth one is like it's a building block, a progression here, that through God's word and through God's presence, we become strong and courageous. Verse 6 says be strong and courageous. Verse 7 says be strong and very courageous. And verse 9 says be strong and courageous. And I started asking myself as I read through this and meditated on this chapter, and I'm trying to figure out, like, am I supposed to be strong and courageous in my own abilities? Is that what this means? Sometimes I can feel strong and courageous. Other days I feel very weak. And I've talked with others and counseled others and like prayed with others, and they don't feel strong and courageous at all. And at times in my life, I've just kind of given a pat on the back and said, man, just be strong and courageous. And they look at me like, I can't do it. I'm empty. I am depleted. I have nothing in me to be strong and courageous. And that's why it got me thinking. I'm like, how does a person become strong and courageous? Well, God gives the encouragement and the equipping that's needed so that by faith we become strong and courageous. That's the connection. So let me show you some other places in the Bible where this sequence is repeated. So in Daniel chapter 10, this is a really interesting little section. In Daniel chapter 10, I'm just going to kind of give a quick summarization of what this is. Verses 17 through 19, you can look at this later. Daniel says to God, I am overwhelmed. I am overcome by anguish. My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. So Daniel's in a bad spot. God says to him, O man greatly loved, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Be strong now. Be strong. And Daniel responds, when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Isn't that interesting? And then he said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. The word of God strengthened Daniel. Another example, the Israelites and Moses, they are fleeing from the Egyptians. They are right up now at the Red Sea. So they have the Red Sea in front of them. They've got these two mountains that are kind of like hemming them in on the two sides. And right up through this little pass through those mountains, they have the Egyptian army, which is coming upon them. They're petrified. There's nowhere to go. And Moses said to the people in Exodus 14, he said to the fearful people, fear not. Stand firm, which means be strong and be filled with courage, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work out for you today. So again, the word of God being spoken through Moses to the people brings courage and brings strength and brings hope. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul gives a couple examples as well. 1 Corinthians 16. He says, be watchful, which means be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men, which that's an interesting phrase if you're a woman. Act like men. What that actually means is be courageous. Be strong is the next phrase. Let everything you do be done in love. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So this theme of being strong and being courageous is found throughout the scriptures, and the source of the strength and the courage is God speaking and God's presence. I mean, that's inspirational, isn't it? I mean, it motivates me to be strong and courageous when I hear that. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you in the rest of this sermon how This can happen in your life. I want to make this very, very practical. I want every single one of you, when you leave here today and when you're going through the rest of your week, I want you to be able to actually change your thinking so that you can start living in a way that is both strong and courageous. So the question is, how can you become strong and courageous? How can you do that? Through God's word and his presence, we become strong and courageous. God does not want his followers to be controlled by fear, to be controlled by stress or uncertainty. Like, are any of those like dominating your thoughts and the way you live? I asked earlier at the beginning of the sermon, like, what are the narratives? What are the thoughts that run through your mind? If they're ones of negativity and fear and stress and uncertainty, that should be like a little wake-up call for you, because what I'm saying right now is that these are not the things that should be dominating the thoughts and the minds of the follower of Jesus Christ. Instead, his word should literally be changing us into people of strength and courage. So if you want casual change in your life, then read his word casually. If you want shallow change in your life, then read his word in a shallow manner. But if you desire the kind of complete, holistic, heart-transformative change that comes from God to become strong and courageous, here's what it requires. It requires reading his word, it requires thinking about his word, and then it requires meditating on God's word, which means you just think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it some more, and then you obey it. That's in essence what Joshua 1, 7 through 8 says. Now, notice that this change comes from what our minds are focused on. Now, of course, God is referring to matters of faith in Joshua 1. That's what we're talking about right now. But it occurred to me that this principle can actually apply to other areas of life. And so to illustrate how powerful our thinking can be in realms that aren't even spiritual, let me talk for a second about the Navy SEALs. Love the Navy SEALs. And what we see in looking at and thinking about what Navy SEALs go through is that change comes from what our minds are focused on. Our change comes from what our minds are focused on. So in his book, Lone Survivor, Marcus Luttrell recalls instructions from one of the chiefs. And this was one of the statements. The real battle is won in the mind. That's what they teach the SEALs. Another instructor of the SEALs said this: win in the mind before entering the arena. So all of their preparation starts with the mind. A strong mind will lead to strong behavior. So they're trained to access the, they call the fuller capacity of their mind. So one of the ways that they describe it is that you clear out your junk thoughts, like you would go to your garden and you would pull out the weeds so that your tomatoes can thrive. Well, you throw out your junk thoughts, which leaves you the ability to focus and to do what you're supposed to do. So here's one example. Let's just make this really practical for a second. Lots of examples of how this is portrayed. One of their tests that they have to go through is called the drown-proofing test. There are many facets of this test. Here's one of them. By the way, you cannot do this. You can't try this, okay? If you try this and something bad happens to you, like, we take no responsibility, because this is a bad idea. Let me just say this right now. This is a bad idea to do this. So this is highly supervised, with people in the water with tanks, people all around the pool watching. They will take the candidates that are trying to become SEALs, and they'll tie their ankles together, and then they'll take their hands and they'll tie them together behind their backs. All right, you with me? Then they jump into the deep end of the pool. And for 5 minutes, they do this. They blow out air so that they sink to the bottom. They get to the bottom. They crouch. They obviously, their feet are together, but they can still push up. They push up so they are above the water. They get a breath. They hold it. They start going down again. They exhale the air so that they can sink because their lungs are depleting of air. They get all the way to the bottom of the pool again. They push off and they go back up. For 5 minutes, they have to do this with their hands tied and their ankles tied. Does that sound hard? If you're a pretty good swimmer, that's actually not that hard. But you know what happens? Their minds. If they panic because their hands are tied, they'll fail. If they allow fear and anxiety to start entering into their minds and start freaking out, oh my gosh, my feet are tied. Oh, what? I don't know if I can get up. I can't move my hands. If they do any of those things, they fail. So for 5 minutes, they have to have the focus to just do one thing. Focus on being calm. Focus on doing the next right thing. Trust their training. Trust their instructors. Their instructors are not trying to kill them. They're safe because it's all supervised. The real battle is won in their mind. And the only way to make it through Bud's training is the mental strength to focus on doing the right thing and to pull out the weeds of all the negative thoughts and all the fears. And you know, that got me thinking. Like this whole idea of their ability to do more because of the way they think, that got me thinking about my own life and my spiritual life. I'll never be a Navy SEAL. I tell myself it's because I'm too old now. I never could have been a Navy SEAL in all honesty. I just don't have the physique. I don't have the I just don't have the drive. But think about this. If SEALs can go beyond their perceived limits with mental strength, a Christian can go beyond their perceived limits by changing the way we think, by meditating on God's word, fueled by the Holy Spirit of God. You follow my logic on that? People actually change the way they behave because of the way they think, and they don't even have the Spirit of Christ in them. We have the Spirit of Christ, and when we dwell upon and meditate and think upon the Word of God, God literally changes us to become strong and courageous through His Word and through His presence. So to start evaluating your mental focus, just consider this question. What is the dialogue that goes on in your mind through the week? What are the things that you think about? I did a little research and found common phrases that people have in their minds that struggle, that are kind of fighting through and mostly failing. And here are a few of those phrases. They say to themselves, "I always mess up. I don't have anything to offer. My life is so hard. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough intelligence. I do and say the dumbest things." See, if we focus on the negative dialogues and we let those dialogues rotate in our minds and they dominate our thoughts, we have lost the battle before it begins. You're meditating on sin and you're meditating on the negativities in your mind and in your life. You're doing the opposite of what God instructs us to do. You'll never become strong and courageous if you allow the negative thoughts to dominate your mind and to keep running through and running through and running through and running through. Absolutely, we should be confessing our sin. Meditating on our sin, absolutely not. And so what we're seeing here in Joshua chapter 1 is that you can actually choose to think differently. Victory in your life is overcome by victory in your mind. And God was telling them, look, read my word, think about my word, speak my word, meditate on my word. And the byproduct of all that is you will become strong and courageous. So I started incorporating this into my life a few years ago. And I think I accidentally, in all honesty, kind of stumbled upon this as I would just, the best way for me to memorize scripture was to just meditate on it, which is I just kind of repeated it over and over and over in my head as I was on jogs. And I'd be out running, and I just started at the beginning of a book of the Bible, and I just started kind of going through it. And as I did, I'd think to myself, oh, that's an interesting phrase. I think I'll think about that some more. And then I'd repeat that phrase over and over and over. And as I repeated that phrase over and over, the Lord, through the meditation, started like speaking his truth to my heart. And it literally started changing who I was because it was changing my mind. Some phrases that I meditate upon and think upon that come directly from God's word would be things like this. So I'm gonna give you a little peek into Sean Peterson's heart and prayers, which makes me feel a little bit vulnerable, I just have to say. I am a child of God, and I am dearly loved and cherished. I am alive in Jesus Christ. My salvation is imperishable and unfading. I will not be conformed by my sinful thoughts. My hope is fully set on the grace of Jesus Christ. I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I am controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I am filled with the fullness of Christ. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. In Jesus, I am clothed in his righteousness. I will not give in to fear. I will not quit. I will live in the power of the Spirit of Christ. He makes me strong and courageous. So notice what I've done there. I've taken truths of God from Scripture, which God wants us to know. He wants us to read them. He wants us to memorize them. He wants us to meditate on them. He wants us to soak in them. And in my prayers, I've made them very personal to me. It's God's personal word that he is giving to you as well. He's not saying in Ephesians 4, you are my child, so that you can think about other people being the child of God. He's saying that because if you are his follower, you are his child. That's powerful. And so you can personalize these truths of Scripture and obviously lots of others. I'm just giving you a little sampling here. And as you do that, your thinking changes. And as your thinking changes, your actions change, your attitudes change, and you start to become strong and courageous. What I thought we would do is try this together. So I've put some phrases up here. All scripturally based, many of them being the same phrases that I was just illustrating of things that I've meditated upon and thought upon from God's word about how God wants us to live and who he wants us to be. So I don't want you to feel like you have to do this. I don't want you to feel like I am forcing you to do this, but I would like to invite you to read these phrases like together, but to make them personal so that these are true for you. You're not thinking about these for someone sitting next to you. until we get to the very final verse, the final phrase, which is a we phrase. But you think about how these are applying to you personally. So, I am a child of God. I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I will live in the power of the Spirit. I will not give in to fear. By faith, I am strong and courageous. By faith, we are strong and courageous. I changed that last pronoun to we because as we do that together, as we are living in the power of God's word, and as we are being transformed, it's a multiplier. You're not on your own. It's not just you and God. It's you and God, but there's a bunch of other people around you doing it. And when we start meditating on God's word, our thinking changes, and God changes us to become, as he describes in Joshua 1, to be strong and courageous. And it's not because of us. We're not strong and courageous. We're weak, we are flawed, and we are sinful. But Jesus Christ is mighty, and he is strong. And his truth and his strength literally takes root in our hearts, and you then have the strength of Jesus Christ flowing through you and living and residing inside of you. And through Jesus, you can do more than you could ever imagine you doing. Through Jesus, you can be strong and courageous. This is the way that God wants us to live. And by faith, we can start living this today. In Joshua chapter 1, the people of God are being called to do something that is, without God, they could never do it. They are not an army. They're big. They're a big group of people, but they're not an army. Taking cities is not what they do. But God is telling them, by focusing on his word and relying upon his presence, they can do more than they could ever imagine on their own. And this is the invitation that God is giving his followers today as well. As he leads us to interact with our world, to serve people in our world, to share the light of Jesus Christ in whatever capacity he's calling you to, God is calling you to live by faith, to do more than you could ever imagine doing on your own. You know, last week, right after the worship service, somebody went up to one of our pastors and said, you know what, God's been speaking to my wife and I for months about starting a G2 group for young marrieds, and I just want you to know we're in. We're going to do what God's calling us to do. By faith, we're going to take a step, and we're going to start blessing some young adults and some young marrieds, and in the fall, they're going to start. And when I heard that, I just got a big smile on my face. Because by faith, we can be strong and courageous. And that's what God is calling us to as a church. Will we, by faith, in faith, be strong and courageous? It's my belief and it's my hope that God will be doing that in our church. And that as a result, all of these different ministries that you can walk around and see here at the end of this service, that they will be blessed because of our involvement. That people that are a part of those ministries will be blessed because we just said yes. And it wasn't because we're amazing, it's because we just said yes, and by faith we stepped out. And it was all by the result of us meditating on God's word and letting him change our thoughts, and then we became people that we didn't even recognize anymore. Because he is in us with increased power and increased saturation in our hearts. Wouldn't that be awesome to see that happen in our lives? As we're moving our ways through the book of Joshua, we'll be giving you regular scripture verses that you can be memorizing. The point of it is that you meditate on it so that by the result of you meditating on it, your thoughts and your thinking actually changes so that you can do the very things that God's calling you to do. I'm very excited to see the result of all of that in our lives. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Lord, for your glory and for your great reputation, I ask that your word would plant deeply into our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would convict us for ways that we take your word too casually, and that you would prompt us and lead us to seeking your truth in your word, to meditate on your word so that you can be changing us, teaching us, forming us into new creations so that we can then be strong, courageous, and a blessing to this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.